I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And hath put a new song in my mouth. Many shall hear it and shall trust in the Lord. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful Savior, and what a wonderful privilege it is to be in God's house on Resurrection Sunday, the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Well, it's time to get airborne. Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about on this resurrection day. In John, the 14th chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And as you're finding your place, I should remind you, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. Amen. And the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful book that we know as the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, precious, perfect, pure, pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. I'm going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 14, one verse. That will be verse number 19. And I'm going to read that for you and with you after we pray together. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we are indeed grateful for this hour, for Resurrection Day, the day that our Lord Jesus came out of the grave to conquer death, hell, and the grave, and is seated at thy right hand, making intercession for us even as I speak. I pray that you would quiet every heart in this congregation and through the live streaming. May every one of us give our undivided attention to what you have to say. Not what Raymond Barber has to say, but what does Jesus say? I pray that you speak to those who know not Jesus as Savior, that they may come to know him today on his resurrection celebration. In his name we ask it, and for his sake we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now to John's Gospel, the fourth Gospel, the Gospel that takes us immediately out of the realm of time and into the realm of eternity, where John begins it, "In the beginning was the Word." Now in John 14 at verse number 19. "Yet a little while," remember this is Jesus speaking, and yet in a little while, "and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Would you read that part with me, those last words, beginning with "because"? "Because I live, ye shall live also." Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard some of the most powerful, profound, and promising words ever spoken by Jesus Christ. "Because I live, ye shall live also." For many weeks now, we've heard and seen horribly bad news from the Ukraine and Eastern Europe. The atrocities that we've seen remind us of what happened during World War II. Images of death and destruction have filled our television screen day by day and night by night. Bad news, but wait. Please stay tuned. I have some wonderfully good news that will cause your heart to beat with indescribable joy. Are you ready for this? Jesus is alive. Amen. And he said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." This is an unimpeachable guarantee backed by all the powers of our omnipotent God. We should say thank God for the 104 times that the resurrection is mentioned in the New Testament. We should say thank God for every blessing that we have. The story is told of the American soldier and the Russian soldier who became good friends during World War II. One day they were engaged in a conversation about the war. Every time the Russian soldier related something good that had happened, the American soldier said, "Thank God." When the American soldier reported something good, the Russian soldier said, "Thank Stalin." The American soldier said to his friend, "What are you going to say when Stalin dies?" "Thank God." And Stalin is dead, but Jesus is still alive. 2,000 years ago on Good Friday, people went out throughout the city of Jerusalem whispering, "He is dead. He is dead. He is dead." 3 days later, they went about shouting, "He is alive. He's alive. He's alive. Thank God he's alive. He's alive and grants me daily breath. He's alive, and I shall conquer death. He's alive, my mansion to prepare. He's alive to bring me safely there. He's alive who once was dead. He's alive, my ever-living, loving head." written over the entrance of the Wealthy Street Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, are these words, and they are aimed at the God is dead people. The words read like this: our God is alive. Sorry about yours. I remember, and some of you are old enough to remember this too, in the mid-60s there came out the theory from some misguided theologians that God was dead. They published it all over the world. They got worldwide coverage. God is dead. Well, I have some questions for that crowd. When did he die? What was the cause of his death? Who preached his funeral? Who were his pallbearers? Who sent flowers? Where did they bury him? Why did they not notify the next of kin? God is not dead, ladies and gentlemen. God is dead, the theologians say, but I know he's not. I talked with him today. Amen. Dead never to live again, they claim, but alive to save through his son's dear name. Alive, alive, let it be said, God will be living when the theologians are dead. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Amen. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Yes. Oh, oh, sometimes I feel like shouting, shouting, shouting. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus declared in all four Gospels that in 3 days after his crucifixion, he would rise from the dead. On a day while standing in the shadow of Herod's magnificent temple, Jesus said, and it's recorded in John 2:19, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up. In 3 days, I will raise it up." Well, immediately the Jews rebuked him, saying, and I'm sure with a smirk on their face, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up, rebuild it, reconstruct it in 3 days? Of course, they were blinded to the fact that he was talking about the temple of his body. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the crucifixion was no surprise to God. He designed it. The resurrection was no surprise to God. He planned it, and it happened just like he said it would in the Old Testament by the prophets. Jesus made it clear that death is not the end, but that life extends into eternity. You see, resurrection is more than a spiritual transition. It involves the body. Please don't miss this. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Hear me when I say it. When a believer dies, the body goes to the grave, but the spirit and soul go to God. Did not Paul say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? No intermediate stops, no purgatory. By the way, you can search every page in your Bible and you will not find one reference to purgatory. Right. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. At the resurrection, the soul and the spirit will reunite with the body. By the way, now you need not miss this. It will be a glorified body, just like the body of Jesus. That's what John said in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, on the other hand, follow me now. When an unbeliever dies, please listen, the body also goes to the grave, but the soul and the spirit go to hell. That's what I said. That's what the Bible says. The soul and the spirit go to hell, to be separated from God in a lake of fire, tormented day and night, forever and forever and forever and forever, because forever is forever. Now, Jesus makes this clear in the story that he told about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. Would you please listen? And it came to pass that the beggar died, that's Lazarus, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, I've read the Bible and I've read a lot of books, but I've read a lot of newspaper clippings. I have never read anybody having angels for pallbearers but Lazarus. Can you imagine having an angel for the pallbearer? Jesus continued the story. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, did you get that? I'm quoting Jesus. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the book. And God wrote the book. Hell is hell. Hell is real. Listen, God speaks of hell and eternal punishment no less than 240 times in the New Testament. Jesus said more about hell than he did about heaven. Now, on this Resurrection Sunday, April 17, in the year of our Lord, 2022, I come to you preaching a living Savior to a dying world. I come to you preaching a firm hope to a hopeless humanity. I come to you preaching a message of eternal life to people who are facing eternal death. I come to you declaring that truth is stronger than falsehood. I come to you declaring that Christ is stronger than Satan. Amen. I come to you declaring that life is stronger than death. Amen. I come to you declaring that everything that Jesus did, he did in the light of the cross, followed by the truth of the resurrection. That's my introduction, and I'm ready to start preaching. But not to worry, I learned a long time ago, a sermon does not have to be eternal to be immortal. Right. And I always taught my students, if you can't strike oil in 30 minutes, stop boring. I've entitled the message, you probably already guessed it, Because Jesus Lives, We Shall Live Also. Now, when Jesus uttered these awesome words in my text, because I live, you shall live also, he was not referring to the present state of those to whom he spoke alone. He was also speaking to others. He looked beyond the limited present to the eternal future. Paul gives his commentary on it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. And become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
O death, where is thy sting?
Yeah.
O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive, ladies and gentlemen. He's alive. And because he lives, we shall live also. Now, from this profound statement made by our Lord, because I live, ye shall live also, I deduct three monumental truths. Monumental truth number one, Jesus is alive. Listen to the message by the angel to the women who came to anoint his battered, broken, bruised, bleeding body. The message that was heard around the world, it's written in Matthew 28. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Ladies and gentlemen, the cemetery out yonder, and in all these 71 years of ministry, I've led many families out to the cemetery, to plant beneath Mother Earth the precious form of their loved ones to await the resurrection. Cemetery speaks of death. The empty tomb speaks of life after death. Now listen to what Jesus said about himself. I'm quoting Jesus again. By now you know I love to quote Jesus. He said in John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Thank God, he took it again.
Amen.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Death could not keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Now I want to give you what I consider one of those far-reaching, clear verses about the death of Jesus that's in all the Bible. In all the Bible. It's written in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 9. And Paul wrote, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Ladies and gentlemen, he's alive forever. Let me give you his word only from the Revelation 1:18. Jesus said, I'm still quoting Jesus. I love to quote him. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. That brings me to monumental truth number two. He who believes in Jesus will never die. That's what Jesus said. I'm still quoting him from John 11 at verse 25, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Wow, listen again to Jesus. I'm still quoting Jesus. He said in John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection is absolute, undeniable, unimpeachable proof that Christianity is true and all other religions are false. Hear me when I say it. You say, but now, preacher, that's awful narrow-minded. Yes, it is. Just as narrow as the Bible. If the Bible isn't true, let's go fishing. If the Bible isn't true, let's give it all up. But I read in the Bible testimony of itself. Thy word is true from the beginning. All true. Every word, every sound, every syllable. Now, it is not Jesus and. It is not Jesus or. It is Jesus and Jesus alone.
Amen.
Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, let me ask you just an honest, simple question. Would you go to a dead man to learn something about life? How stupid. How foolish. But let me tell you, Mohammed is dead.
Right.
Confucius is dead.
Right.
Buddha is dead.
Amen.
Zoroaster is dead, but Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
And I go to him for life.
Amen.
And him only. You see, the risen Christ makes the difference. That brings me to monumental truth number three. Please don't miss it. The only way to get to heaven is the Jesus way. Again, I quote him, I give you his word on it from John 14 at verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now you may be asking, well, preacher, what must then I do to be saved? I'm glad you asked that question because I have the answer. I have it because a Philippian jailer asked Paul the same question. And Paul said, well, find you a good church and join it and be better. No, he didn't. Paul said, well, if you'll just turn over a new leaf and start life all over. No. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Paul makes clear the truth about believing in Romans chapter 10. Listen to it. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and watch this, believe in thine heart, not in your head. Everybody has a head knowledge. Oh, I know that Jesus, yeah, oh yeah. Not so. Believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's easy to see, ladies and gentlemen, there is no salvation apart from the resurrection. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Remember my text? I'm quoting Jesus again. Believe, because I live, ye shall live also. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. People have tried to make salvation so conflicted and so whatever, but it's so simple. Would you listen carefully? If you're here this morning and you never have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's never been a time when you ask Him to come into your heart and live in your life and ask God to save you for Jesus' sake. Could I be speaking to someone like that this morning? Just being honest. Resurrection Day, honest. You have never, never, never trusted Christ as your Savior. Then I would admonish you to confess to God, not to the preacher. Confess to God that you're a sinner. Just tell God you've sinned against Him and you know it. Then believe that Jesus paid your sin debt at Calvary when He bore your sins in His own body on the tree. Receive Him as your Savior. You know what receive means. If I had a $100 bill in my hand this morning, and I don't have one, and I don't think I have one in my billfold either. I haven't checked lately because no use to. But if I had a $100 bill in my hand this morning and said, the first person that gets up here, I'm going to give you this $100 bill. You can receive it. It's yours. Boy, they'd come from everywhere. I don't have it and I'm not going to try it. But I can tell you one thing. If you receive Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. I invite you to come to the risen Savior. I invite you to come today, for the Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, you're saying to me, but preacher, I'm healthy. I just went to the doctor this week. He said I had a heart of a 17-year-old. You know, I've buried men that said that. Seriously. They came home and died while shaving. Right in the same hour. I'm telling you, boast not thyself of tomorrow. I'm quoting the Bible now. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. By the way, you don't have to wait till you get better, because you're probably not going to get any better. Let's face it. Some of you couldn't get worse. So you know what you ought to do? Come just as you are. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness He requireth is to feel your need of Him. That's all. Just tell God you need Him. Let's stand for our prayer. Our heads are bowed. I confess to you, I don't know. I've been doing it a long time, but I don't know a whole lot about giving invitations. My daddy was the greatest invitation giver I ever listened to. I wish I'd have gotten more of it from him, but heads are bowed now. And this is not only Resurrection Day honesty, but it's Judgment Day in honesty also. The altar's open, by the way, and the invitation has begun. If God has spoken to your heart about your salvation, about your eternity, about your eternal existence, it's either one place or the other. It's hell or it's heaven. And Jesus makes the difference. Difference as wide as eternity. A difference between heaven and hell. A difference between eternal punishment and eternal joy. Which will it be with you. I'm inviting you to come just as you are and to tell God that you need him. I'm going to pray. Brother Corey is going to lead us in the invitation appeal. Just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts today. We tried to make it plain and simple. The Holy Spirit will take over now. And Holy Spirit, speak to every heart in this place. May everyone go away with the assurance that they know Jesus as Savior. In his name I pray.